my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. My best thought, my dear, my presence, my God. Be thou my wisdom, and thou my true ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Now my soul shelter, and thou my heart. Praise thou me heavenward, O God.
Welcome to the inaugural episode of The Sacred Project. My name is Jonathan Michael, and I'm a graduate of St. Michael's Choir School in downtown Toronto. I'm also a crossover singer and a cantor at various churches throughout the Greater Toronto Area. The Sacred Project is a unique show that takes you inside Toronto's Roman Catholic parishes. I will bring you enlightening interviews with devoted ministers who will be sharing their wisdoms and insights while filling the air with enchanted sounds of sacred songs. The Sacred Project is a celebration of faith, music, and community that will inspire and unite us all. On today's episode, I'll be speaking with Monsignor Pat O'Day of St. Edward the Confessor Parish, located at 75 Church Hill Avenue in North York, Ontario. This parish has been my musical home since 2019, as I've had the absolute joy of being part of its music ministry. Thank you for being my inaugural guest on the Sacred Project.
My pleasure.
You've had an incredible 41-year journey as a priest and taken on various roles, not inclusive, to being a vocations director, a spiritual advisor for the Catholic Women's League, youth director. But now let's dive into the personal side of Monsignor Pat O'Day, if you don't mind. And I was just wondering if you wouldn't mind sharing, what were your formative years like with your family?
Okay, well, I'm not too old enough to remember that. But I have to say, as you probably know, I was born in Ireland.
Yeah.
So essentially with an Irish Catholic upbringing, and every Sunday going to Mass, and very, very Catholic country, as you know.
Right.
And so we're kind of immersed in the faith, and particularly in a very small town, it was very much emphasized. I still remember every Sunday after Mass, we walk down into the square, make a left, a right, we'd end up in the cemetery.
Oh, okay.
In the cemetery, my grandparents were buried there, my little sister who died young, mm-hmm. and my dad and mom and my other sisters, we would say a prayer there. That's every Sunday, and then we would go to lunch.
Right.
And so it was a tradition. So we immigrated because my father, work was not good. Employment was very bad, and so we ended up going to America, to upstate New York, Rochester. And a lot of the reason for that was because my father's siblings had already immigrated,
okay.
four or five of them. And so it was a logical place to go, although England was another option. And so that's how that happened. So my mom's side is all still in Ireland or England. She was the only one to immigrate to America. So anyway, that's where we landed when I was seven. And again, we joined a Catholic school, Corpus Christi, and got raised there. Although I went to a public high school.
Oh.
So it was close by, and I had to work. My father was insistent on work after school. For all of us, once we turned 16, you work.
Right.
And so that's where that happened. And then I joined the Air Force. The Vietnam War was going on at the time that I was in high school, and so I had to make a decision to either be drafted or to enlist, mainly because they were not allowing for student deferments. If you went to college, you could be still pulled out. So I enlisted, and I went into the U.S. Air Force for 4 years.
Huh.
Yeah, so it was during that time that, you know, I was also considering what to do with my life.
Right.
Things like that. So.
So that's a very interesting story about enlisting in the Air Force. Just wondering, so what led you to become a Roman Catholic priest? And was this one of the experiences that maybe influenced your decision?
Well, interestingly, when I was in grade school mm-hmm. and high school, I was very influenced by a number of priests in our parish mm-hmm. at Corpus Christi. They were very happy priests, good priests. And I had discern because I also considered marriage and okay. possibly another vocation. So it was there, but it wasn't strong. And so I felt, it's interesting because I could have got out of going into the service by going into the seminary.
Right.
Because if you're a seminarian, you can't be drafted. Oh. And so I didn't want to go just to go, to avoid, but rather to make it a good decision. So, but it was when I went into the Air Force that I began to think, you know, it's really interesting because I kept thinking, I'm 19 years old, I'm in the Air Force, I could die.
Right.
I could die in war. We see all the wars happening today. And so I said, okay, if I make it, meaning survive this, mm-hmm. what am I going to do with my life? And so I vowed that I would do something good, try to do something good with my life. And so then the thought of the priesthood came back, and there was a military chaplain who was a Catholic priest, and he used to come out and visit the flight line all the time and the troops, and I was very impressed by him. And I felt that he was doing a good thing. You know, he was in the military himself. He was an officer. And so I just felt I was very inspired by him. And I went to him for spiritual direction. And so he just encouraged me to think about it. He didn't push and all that. So it was after that I decided I would enter. I actually made the application whilst just getting out of the Air Force. So I only had 2 weeks home and then went into the seminary. I joined religious life first. I was studying with the Trinitarians. But the reaction of my family was mixed. My father was not necessarily in favor of it because
oh.
he wanted me to be married.
Okay.
My mother just wanted me to be safe because right. she thought I'd make a career out of the military. And my brothers and sisters were mixed because they wanted me home. And so I was going from 4 years away in the Air Force to 1 week home, 2 weeks home, and then into the seminary. So there was a kind of, they wanted me around, but, you know, so. But anyway, it worked out well, and I ended up studying and staying. And then I was sent to Toronto as my first assignment. So it ended up that I liked it in Toronto, and I asked to stay in Toronto. Mm-hmm. My father had just died suddenly, and so they thought it would be nice for me to be close to my mother and siblings. So Toronto was kind of an accidental call because of the, believe it or not, because of the death of my father.
Right.
I was supposed to go to New Jersey.
Okay.
And then they sent me to Toronto. And so it ended up being a good situation, yeah.
And what year was that in? That you?
That was 1981. I was ordained in September, and it was a few weeks off. Then I came here in October 1981.
Yes. So in your opinion, what are some of the most rewarding aspects of serving as a Roman Catholic priest as well? What are some of the greatest challenges that you've encountered in your ministry?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting because I've always liked the idea. I feel within myself, I like bringing people together. Yeah. I like building community. I get a lot of joy out of seeing people connecting to one another. To kind of, first of all, coming to know God and trying to be a catalyst for that. But I also like just, like in a parish setting, I love the fact that people are coming from different backgrounds, but you can bring them together for various things. And so I love that aspect of kind of evangelizing, but at the same time, seeing people coming together, helping each other, and really feeling that the church is their home, mm-hmm. you know. It's a family, it's their home, and so I enjoy that aspect of ministry. And of course, baptizing, doing all the sacraments, marrying people, as I said, baptizing, forgiving their sins and sacrament of confession, and administering communion.
Samita, nos quo tantum.
So in the 1990s, you had you played a very crucial role in the nurturing of many young men at the time, as you were both director of Sierra House and the director of Vocations. Could you tell us more about your initiative, such as the Call by Name program, and the impact it had on promoting vocations and guiding men through their discernment process?
Okay, yeah. Well, it's interesting because I never expected the Archbishop to ask me to be a vocation director, particularly when I didn't go to the local seminary.
Was that Ambrosic at the time?
Yeah, Cardinal Ambrosic called me one day. I was at St. Patrick's in Markham.
In Markham, okay.
As an associate, and he called me and he said, I'd like you to take on the role of vocation director and rector of Sarah House. So it's two positions. I guess my reaction is, but Your Eminence, I didn't go to St. Augustine's. And he goes, that's exactly why I want you. He goes, not in any way. It was more the idea that he wanted somebody who could be free and not bound by any pressures. Right. And so I was also working with youth. I helped support the idea of a youth office. Mm-hmm. So I guess he saw that work. I thought he was calling me to be the next youth director, but he shocked me by asking me to be vocation director. Mm-hmm. And so I went to do that. In terms of, I was there 9 years, and through that experience, part of the job of being a vocation director is to also encourage other priests to take a role in that too. But was also to visit parishes, to interview young men older men who are thinking of priesthood. And one of the things that, and being in charge at Sarah House, that's also a formation house for those who are discerning become priests, almost like a house of philosophy, mm-hmm. and they move on to, at that time, they move on to theology, if they decide to move on. You had asked me before about, are there anything stand out in my mind about those days? Mm-hmm. One of the vocations that came through was now Bishop Vincent. Oh. And he escaped, he was a boat person who escaped from Vietnam. And when he came to visit me, he was younger, and he had decided that he might want to be a priest. And so his spiritual father came with him, because they're accompanied by a priest who's older and who speaks for them.
Right.
And so I remember thinking, he was so quiet, and the spiritual father was doing all the talking. And I was trying to get to know Vincent, and so finally, when the spiritual father left, I had a chance to get to know him, and I said, oh, you can talk. So anyway, that was funny, but he ended up going on, and then and now he's a bishop. And mm-hmm. another one was a neighboring priest here, Father Murphy, who was an undertaker, who was deciding to become a priest, and he pulls up in his hearse for the interview. And I tease about that a lot, because he was so scared, he walked up the steps of Sarah House and sat down and turned white as a ghost, and I thought he was not well. Mm-hmm. And he said, give me a few minutes. It took me 5 years to walk up those steps.
Oh.
And that was a powerful moment, because I knew then that there was a call, because he had been discerning it. And then he eventually entered, okay. And now he's a priest. He's my neighbor at the next parish. Call by name, the reason for call by name, it came out of a program that was being done in Chicago, believe it or not. And so it dawned on me that there are probably a lot of people out there who are thinking about it, and maybe a little bit of a nudge from somebody who might say, you know, have you ever thought of becoming a priest or a sister or a deacon? It's a comprehensive program. It's not just for priests. The idea is that a parish would invite people in the community, if they know someone who they've always wanted to say, you know, have you ever thought of being a priest?
Right.
And you ever thought about being a sister or a deacon? And we did it in stages, court of the diocese, court of the diocese, et cetera. And it turned out to be very successful. And what happened is they would, quote, ask the person, is okay if I nominate you to go to a workshop? And so we had them at De La Salle. The cardinal was involved. And so all these people came, and we put on a workshop for the men, the women, married men who were considering diaconate. And over the years, there's at least 24 permanent deacons that came out of the experience that are now ordained. and a number of men, you can, if I named them right now, you would say, oh, I know him, yeah. That came through Call by Name. So the idea was, do you want to take it a step further and maybe go into kind of a discernment group?
And on the topic of music and COVID, I remember obviously being shut down at the different churches. Again, with the restrictions that were in place, music was not allowed to take place. But as soon as those restrictions were lifted, I have to say you were the first priest to call me to ask me to come back and sing. And for that, I am truly thankful. Again, it's you definitely put a lot of effort into your music ministry here at the church. I've been here since 2019. It's been a pleasure being part of the music ministry. And I thank you very much for being my inaugural guest on the Sacred Project today. And thank you very much for your time.
And also, just keep in mind that you have a beautiful voice.
Thank you.
You have a voice that touches people, and you know, many people comment on that. And I mean, we have many musicians who give up their whole self. But you very much, when you sing, it's like the idea of a vocation. It's not just something we do, it's something we are. And so it's, I mean, you are music. And I think that that's something that gives you great pleasure.
Absolutely.
And it shows. And so I'm very grateful that you accepted to come.
Yes.
You know, so thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of The Sacred Project. A very big thanks to Monsignor Pat O'Day for sharing his vocational stories and sharing the history of St. Edward the Confessor Parish. We hope that you'll join us next week for another episode. Thank you for watching.
I will come to you in the silence. I will lift you from all your fears. You will hear my voice. I claim you as my choice. Be still and know I am here. I am hope for all who are hopeless. I am eyes for all who long to see. In the shadow of the night, I will be your light. Come and rest in me. Do not be afraid, I am with you. I have called you each by name. Come and follow me, I will bring you home. I love you and you. Strength for all the despairing, healing for the ones who dwell in shame. All the blind will see, the lame will all run free, and all will know my name. Do not be afraid, I am with you. I have called you each by name. Come and follow me, I will bring you home. I love you and you are mine. Thank you. the word that leads all to freedom. I am the peace the world cannot give. I will call your name, embracing all your pain. Stand up now, walk and be. Afraid, I am with you. I have called you each by name. Come and follow me. I will bring you home. I love you, and you.
Thank you for being part of the Sacred Project journey. Your support means the world. To help contribute to the creation of more episodes, please visit our website at thesacredproject.ca. You can also explore and obtain music from the series by visiting thesacredproject.ca. If you'd like to experience these beautiful hymns live in concert, come join us on these special dates. For more details and ticket information, visit thesacredproject.ca. Let's continue the musical journey together. See you at the concerts.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.